I want to kind of give you guys context about myself before I get into the word. You know, my story, how the heck did I even get here? Because I don't even know how I got here, but by the grace of the Lord, honestly. But my story started in this church, actually. I grew up, you know, young, from the age of like 7, 8 years old. My dad, who's actually here in the back, he served at one of the very first encounters with Andre when Andre started doing these encounter retreats. And I grew up in church, you know, knew God, knew of God, had the gifts of like Holy Spirit in my life. And I actually ended up kind of like backsliding, not because of like any other doing, but my own, to be honest. I actually started getting the attention of man, looking for approval of man in my life, and looking at the wrong things. So at like the age of 13, 14 years old, I started to stop going to church on Sundays, and I started to play football on Sunday and like during a football league. So that was like my excuse of not going to church. And over time, you know, years later, I start to continue to like get the approval of man, try to get the approval of man at least, and try to be that cool, funny guy, honestly. And that led me into starting to do all these, you know, drinking, smoking, partying, the things that honestly the prodigal son did. And that was me. And after years and years of doing these things, you know, I went to a university and I spent my first year there, and I was like, God, like, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I'm just doing whatever I want, honestly. And I'm at university, and I'm kind of at this point in my life where I'm kind of done with whatever's going around, like going on in my life. Like I'm drinking here, I'm smoking here, I'm doing hard drugs here, I'm doing whatever I want, like honestly. And it's not what everyone else makes it seem to be. It's not fulfilling. Has anybody been there before? Where things are not truly fulfilled. Like you're like 90% there, but there's that little percentage that outweighs the 90%. You're like, dude, I feel devastated. This sucks. Like honestly. And so one day I was like, God, like my mom actually called me on the phone. She said, son, it's time to go home. And those words really hit me. Like they honestly moved me, because I was like, man, this isn't just like a physical home, but this is into the Father's house, you know? And so she called me, and I start, you know, dedicating my day a little bit towards the Lord. I'm like looking into personal development, trying to be a better human, trying to read books, trying to listen to podcasts, stuff like that, where that would help me become better. But obviously that doesn't help you become better. During this time, I was still living in Washington. My parents moved to Arizona, and I really felt led in my spirit to move to Arizona with my parents, because if I stayed another 2, 3, 4 years at the school that I was in, I saw kids that were graduating still with addictions, still broken. I was like, dude, this is not the life I want to live. And so I moved to Arizona with my parents. Thank God for them doing that. And I start seeking the Lord, like religiously, like truly, like really looking for him, praying, asking God, where are you in my life? And the first 4 days I moved to Arizona, I started a Bible plan. And it was just saying, the title of it was Getting Closer to God. So I read the first day, second day, third day, fourth day, didn't read the fifth day. Crazy thing is, I come back from Arizona, go visit my friends back at university, back in the place that I was dealing with stuff, fall back into the sin, you know, everything. And I get to this point, I'm like, God, I'm so tired. Like I was tired, but then I was tired of everything. And I go, God, if you're really real, like I need you to show me, like true desperation, true hunger for him activated God to move on my behalf. So I'm sitting in the sauna after this like 2 days, 3 days of me being back in Washington. I get back into a sauna at my sister's house, and I go, God, where are you? Like, honestly, I moved to Arizona. I was the popular kid. I did everything I wanted. I had all the things I wanted. I took this like step for you, God, and it's been a month. Like, where are you? I couldn't find him on my own. And then when I truly looked, when I came with a full heart, ready to repent, ready to look to him and say, Jesus, I need you, he showed up. So I'm in the sauna. I open up my Bible app. The last day of that 5-day plan that I had was actually a verse that was prophesied at our church when I was like 12 years old and written on a hat. I actually still have this hat on my desk. And on that hat, it was a, I don't know if you remember Bobby Connor, I think it was. I think Bobby Connor was at our church, and he was like, he knows scripture like crazy. Isn't it crazy? He's got like a download. It's wild. But Bobby Connor was at our church, and Pastor, I remember, I rewatched the video, and Pastor's like, hey, if anybody wants a verse or like things that Bobby Connor overflows in his ministry, he's actually signing books, signing hats, signing things after service. I'm like 12 years old. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm going to go walk up with my little hat. I'm like, I ain't got nothing to offer you, but I got this hat. He signs it and looks at me. He says, God has a plan in the future for you. And on that verse, what he wrote down on that verse was 2 Corinthians 5:17. And so again, that's backstory of how I got this verse on my life. Obviously, I'm 12, 13 years old. I have no idea what that means. I backslide. I fall into all these issues that I had. And I'm at this point where I'm in the song with God. I'm like reading the last day of my Bible plan that I started. And day 5 was that verse that God prophesied over my, or Bobby Connor prophesied over all my life. And it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. So God literally prophesied something over my life years ago. And it took only a moment of me to fully surrender and give it to him when I was able to activate and walk into the new creation that God had planned for me. Amen. So that's this, like, come on, yeah, give him glory. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus, honestly. Thank you, Lord. So that's my testimony. I mean, maybe someday I'll go into more detail because there's a lot of crazy stuff. But I want to try to be quick, but I don't know if I'm quick. We'll see. So if you guys have your Bibles, open up to Matthew 25. Whatever version you want. I'm reading ESV, but King James Version is for the wise guys. Come on. So that you should open up KJV. You're a wise guy. Come on. Let me know. Say here when you're there. Come on. 25. Yes, sir. Say here when you're there. New Testament. Who brings their physical Bible still? Come on, let's go. 3, 4, 5, 6. Let's go. Okay, I'll get started. You there? Let's go. It says, the kingdom of heaven in verse 1 will be like 10 virgins who took their lamp and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, 5 of them were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became weary, drowsy, and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry. Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourself. And while they're going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast. And the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. So to give you guys some context here, the disciples were asking Jesus questions. In Matthew 24, the chapter before, there was 3 main questions the disciples were asking. When will these things be regarding destruction of the temple? Because Jesus was preaching the destruction of the temple. He said, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming? And when will be the sign of the end age? Disciples were wondering. Just like we wonder questions with God, where we sometimes ask God certain things. We're like, God, X, Y, and Z. Like I was wondering in my testimony story. I was wondering, God, where are you? These things like that. God answers. If you truly ask God questions with true intent and pure intent, God answers. Amen? Amen. So the context here is Jesus wasn't directly like preaching to a crowd of people like this. Jesus was actually preaching to his core disciples that were asking him questions. So it wasn't like a public message where Jesus is like, hey, everybody in the whole world, hear me out. But Jesus was preaching to the disciples one-on-one, basically, well, 1-on-12. But he was preaching to them personally. If we call ourselves disciples of Christ, we should really see what Jesus is saying here in this area. Like, you know, we all come to church. We all love God. So whenever Jesus preaches, I think it's just wisdom to listen to what he says. Amen. So the first point I want to say in this sermon, I'll tell you the title actually. The title of the sermon is Run the Race. So when we call ourselves Christians, we walk into a new identity, a new creation, there's a race that we start. I tell my guys this all the time, and I'll probably mention it in the sermon. Your walk or life doesn't end as soon as salvation is given to you or you grab salvation. Life doesn't end right there. It actually truly just starts to begin. Because if salvation started or if life ended as soon as salvation was given, we'd probably not be sitting in church right now. We'd probably be in heaven saying, holy, 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 amen. But if God has called us and said, hey, you have salvation, there's some kind of thing that we have to do as a church we're called to do. Amen. So there's a duty that is given. Just like in the very beginning, God gave Adam. Why didn't God just create everything? You know, why didn't God just, God did create everything, but why didn't God just start to name all the animals too? No, God always wanted to give man some kind of task, some kind of thing to do. So God gave Adam an opportunity to partake with what God was doing. Obviously, we have that, what we have today. As a Christian, we have the opportunity to partake with what God is trying to do in this church, in this city, in this region, in our personal lives. God calls us and draws us, hey, if you call yourself a Christian, here's an invitation to what I'm doing in the house. Amen? So, first point God calls us in this section is longevity. He doesn't just call us to just die out right away. He calls us out to longevity, to run the race and also finish the race. Amen? Notice in this text, there's one wise bride and then one was a foolish bride. You guys see that? There's one wise and there's one foolish. Kind of like I was saying before, we have the opportunity to be fully devout, sold out Christians for the living God. Amen? Or we have the opportunity to just be a Sunday Christian where we still receive the word and God still loves us and he still has salvation for us. But in my logical mind, if the King of the universe sent his only son to die on the cross for me, that means there's a perfect plan, there's a perfect will, and there's some kind of a crazy destiny waiting for me to partake in and grab in. So I think what Jesus is teaching here, there's a couple things. One of the ways I want to explain to you guys is this. Jesus is teaching that there's a path that he has for you. There is a plan. And that plan ends in walking into heaven, obviously, but also during your lifetime here, having the fruits of the Spirit in your life to overflow to others around you. Amen. To bring more salvations to the King, to bring more souls to the kingdom. So that's what we're called to do. So you have a choice. You have a choice to either be wise or you have a choice to be foolish. Some practical ways to get oil is, I mean, the super straightforward answer is just spend time in the secret place. Everyone wants anointing. Everyone wants to have great preaching. Everyone wants to see these crazy things happen in their life. But as soon as Sunday turns into Monday, there's a switch that turns off. And now when someone cuts me off in traffic, I'm going to cuss them out. You know, it's like, no, 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 no. Where is the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Like, which Jesus are you proclaiming? Because I've never met a person that met Jesus and stayed the same. Like, Saul to Paul, crazy conversion, guys. This guy was on his way to persecute Christians. Like, that's insane. He's on his way. And God comes down and says, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting me? And he instantly knew who it was. He said, God, is that God? Isn't that crazy? His whole life, he's persecuting a person. And in a moment, he's like, is that God? Isn't that crazy how powerful and wonderful our God is? Because just in a moment, in an instant, you can find out who our King really is. Even if sometimes you're doing the wrong things. That's what grace is. God gives you grace and covers you in grace. Amen? Amen. So practical ways to get oil. Pray in secret, Bible study with Holy Spirit. not saying Bible study by yourself. I tell my guys this too. I'd rather have you read one verse, see Jesus in that verse, than five chapters of the Bible. Because you can read five chapters of the Bible and still not change. But you can read one verse with the correct lens and see Jesus in that verse and your whole life is changed. Amen? Amen. So pray in secret, one. This should be a priority no matter what. Bible study with Holy Spirit. Not saying you can't Bible study with your friends. You should do that too. But worship and fasting. It's four keys, practical ways to get oil. Not that we're running this race to get oil. We're running this race to get in the arms of Jesus. We don't even care about the other things. We just want Jesus. But when you're in this race with Jesus, it is almost impossible for you to not have oil or anointing in your life if you're walking with the Lord truly. Amen? You don't touch Jesus or you don't touch God and stay the same. He doesn't do that. He wouldn't be God if he did that, honestly. Second thing I want to talk about in this text is he calls us to purity. So notice that Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like 10 virgins. Why did he even use that example as a virgin, to be honest? Like, does anybody know? I don't know. Like, why didn't he think of, like, the kingdom of heaven is like 10 dogs or like 10 couches or like something ridiculous, right? Like, why specifically virgins? I think a big part of it is the fact that Jesus is the bridegroom and he's coming back to a spotless bride. Amen, obviously. When we're called to purity, it's not only physical purity, mental purity, this aspect. I would take it even a step further. It's purity in the gospel message. It's purity knowing that your works don't save you. It's purity in the gospel knowing that Jesus died for your sins. My dad always references John 3:16, and it's honestly kind of annoying sometimes because I'm like, dude, I know that verse, you know? So he always references like John 3:16, and I think that fits perfectly here when it comes to purity in the gospel. You know, for God so loved the world, tochka, period. For God so loved the world that he gave his own begotten son. For whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So these rules that we somehow tend to, you know, we're seasoned Christians here. Sometimes we're walking on this walk and, oh, I have to throw my hands up and worship. No, you don't have to do that. Oh, I have to pray in tongues very loud so the person next to me hears me. No, you shouldn't do that. Keeping the gospel as pure as possible is one of the things that will help you run this race correctly and to correct us destination. Amen. So when we're walking with the Lord, remind yourself and die to your flesh and see that Jesus died for you for because he loved you and that's it. And remember that truth, that there's nothing that you can do to earn his love. It's already given. Amen. Amen. So now that we know that Jesus died for our sins, reminder, you don't achieve purity by staying clean yourself. It's simply the blood of Jesus Christ. That's literally it. That's the only reason why I'm here. That's the only reason why we're all here. Jesus gave us his blood. And whether we want to be wise or we want to be foolish, we look at what he did for us correctly and we live wise and we avoid areas that we can fall back into, or we could be foolish and miss out on his return, on what he has for us, and potentially go back to where we once were before. So always look at the cross with a pure lens and remember that Jesus loves you. Amen? Yeah, come on, give him some glory. Hallelujah! Come on. Last point that I want to make with that is that when he does return, he comes back for his own. When Jesus comes back, will you be familiar to him? Will he be able to smell you and have the same DNA from him come and overflow in your life? Like, will he be able to recognize you from afar and say, that is my begotten son? Or will he be able to look at you and say, I actually don't know you, and shut the door just like it says in Matthew 25? We want to be Christians that say, Jesus, I know you, and he says the same thing back to us. We don't want to be Christians that say, Jesus, I know you, and he says, I don't even know you. Amen? Amen. Third thing that I want to talk about is he calls us to live faithfully. Now, salvation isn't the goal of a Christian life. Just like I was saying earlier, salvation is the foundation. You know, just like I mentioned before, like, there's no reason for us to have church if salvation was the goal and then boom. Like, salvation is the cornerstone that we get built on, and Jesus builds us up. Hopefully, we allow Jesus to build us up and have the fruits of the Spirit overflow in our life. He calls us to personal devotions to Christ corporately, personally, and outside of church walls. So there's a call that God has given each one of us, whether it's something very small or something that's very, very big. It still has the same effect because Jesus is in it. So if God has called you to go to missions in Africa like Heidi Baker or to all these other places, or God has called you to serve a church here, or God has called you to just, you know, work at 7-Eleven, scan groceries, and be faithful to the people that come in, just know that even if one soul gets saved through what you're doing in your day-to-day life, it's 100% worth it. Amen. Amen. Give him glory. Come on. Living faithfully to God means we choose him over our fleshly desires. In doing so, he corrects and aligns us with his desire / will for our life. And that ultimately brings us fulfillment that we've always been searching for. I know a lot of times why people don't encounter God is because they have other things in front of them. Like, for me, it was sports. It was attention that I wanted from people. It was me wanting to feel good about myself. All these things, if I correctly looked at the cross right, if I looked at the cross for what the cross really was in my life at a young age, I'd probably have a lot of obstacles that I would have avoided. So when we put God first, no matter how hard it is, it even is in like your gym time, it's waking up in the morning, checking your phone and scrolling. It's literally driving on the car and either choosing if you want to listen to some hoopla or if you want to listen to some worship music and spend time in secret. All these things, if done right, with a pure heart, looking at the cross right, and done faithfully over time, God will almost like bring you quickly to the destination that you're supposed to be at. It's like a boost, like nitro, you know, nitrous or whatever. Like, it's like you click the little lever in your car and you're just driving faithfully with the Lord. And then you hit the little nitro in your car and you just, poof, he gets you to your destination. Not saying that he gets it a lot quicker, but there's a lot of obstacles and things that you could avoid when you're living and walking with the Holy Spirit. And when you lay down your own fleshly desires in life, you give it to him and say, Jesus, hey, I'm gonna wake up. Good morning, Holy Spirit. God, thank you so much for this day. I love you. And even if it's just a 30-second prayer, or even if it's 5 hours, as long as you call on the strings of God's heart, on the strings of heaven, if you call on his name and you purely seek him and you put devotion to him, that 5 seconds, even with him in the morning, or that 5 hours, God comes and manifests himself in your day to day, and he speaks to you through the Holy Spirit. And we need Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. Everyone needs Holy Spirit. Pastor needs Holy Spirit. Our congregation needs Holy Spirit. So how can we, you know, we need these things, and we need to cultivate it simply in prayer, fasting, and communion with brothers and sisters that are on the same path with you, the good path, not the bad path, and just truly denying yourself. Truly denying yourself. That's a hard message to preach. It's honestly really hard, because if you deny yourself, you deny your desires. You deny becoming better because you think you have to do this or do that. Simply denying yourself and giving it to the Lord and saying, God, I give you my first fruits and everything, just like it's taught in the Bible. There's a reward that we get, and that's Jesus. That's the greatest reward we could ever get. Amen. Amen. And I'll give you an example too from my life, and it's kind of a funny example I'll just get into it. So there was one time I was like, where are my gym bros at? Gym bros. Got Jack and Brandon here. So I like to eat a lot, clearly it doesn't look like it. I mean, it looks like it right now, but I'm not, I like to go to the gym a lot too, but I haven't really been going. But when I was like really getting after it and just trying to stay intentive with my physical shape, everything like that, I would eat a lot. And there are some days when you eat a lot and then you miss a meal or two, you're like super hungry. Does anybody have that? Like if you were like trying to eat a lot and then boom. One day I didn't eat like my dinner and I went to sleep. And later that night, I wake up like super hungry. I wake up like a bear. I'm like, argh! I'm like looking through my fridge, going into the cabinets, and I'm grabbing anything that I can get possible. I'm like, oh, I need this. I need this. And after I ate whatever I wanted, Holy Spirit actually spoke to me in that moment, as weird as it is. He said, this is how a lot of the church is like. When it comes to any attacks from the enemy, the church tends to not be properly nourished. So when you're walking with Christ, you're running a race or you're walking a race. God doesn't say that it's going to be an easy walk. He actually says the opposite. There's persecution that's going to be given to you. There's these hard things that you're going to have to go through. You're going to have to deny yourself. Like, that's hard to do. So if the church is on, let's say, the defensive and not the offensive, is that truly the bride of Christ? You're still saved. Your salvation's not in question, but when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, there's something so much greater that he has for us, and he asks us to go from glory to glory. He doesn't say, you know, from laziness to laziness or passivity to this. You know, it's like, no, God says a promise. He says it's from glory to glory that we are called. So what I'm trying to say here, if you properly take care of yourself, nourish yourself with the scriptures, nourish yourself in worship, nourish yourself in secret place, spend time in the community, and fast, even if you fast once a year, that's better than zero times a year. Or if you fast twice every 6 months, you know, that's better than nothing. Take steps in your walk with the Lord actively and be proactive about it. Don't just sit around. Because Jesus chose people that were actively doing stuff before he chose anybody. He didn't just choose a nobody. He called out nobodies in a good way, and he gave them a plan. But Jesus, when he got his disciples, they're already doing something, like the fishermen. They were doing something. So run the race. Do something with the Lord and bring him in and invite him in. Amen? Being spiritually fed means when attacks do come your way, you know your authority in Christ. You'll be able to realize if things you struggle with is truly an attack from the enemy or if it's just bad habits you've created. Honestly. I'll say that again. Being spiritually fed means when attacks do come your way, because attacks happen and they do come, you know your authority in Christ first. Second, you'll be able to realize if the things you truly struggle with right now in this moment is an attack from the enemy or if it's just a bad habit. If you're dying to yourself every single day and you're looking at in the mirror and you're being completely honest, being honest with the Lord, being honest with yourself, and say, God, hey, like I see these people, they're on fire for you. I see these people, they're jumping in worship for you. I see these people that are like zealous for you. Like, I'm not that right now, God. I'm not that right now, God. God, teach me how to do this and teach me not to judge them for having so much love for God, but teach me to show me what they see of you. What am I missing? Like, that's one thing that I not in a judgmental way, but I would come into some churches sometimes and see people jumping up and down, and I'm like, dude, I'm missing out on something that they have that I don't have. And Holy Spirit taught me to ask for it and not judge it. Because I it's so beautiful when you see the whole, you know, church jumping up and down and true love, devotion, and purity in the gospel, looking at God and just exalting him. It's so beautiful. It hurts God's heart sometimes when you come in and just say, man, like, these people are weird. It's like you're actually kind of like hurting God's people. These people are sold out Christians, and we should be not judging these kind of people, but asking God, show me what they see that I don't see of you. And that will help you open your heart up. And eventually you'll probably be one of the weird ones jumping up and down too. Amen. So just like the virgins had the choice to gather oil, you have the choice to live faithfully. Ways to live faithfully. Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and then the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. They overcame the enemy. So they're preaching here and saying they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus is our spotless Lamb. He's our sacrifice. He's the only thing that intercedes for us. He's the only thing that has true power. So what the writer of Revelation is saying here, when you share your testimony, because everyone has a testimony, right? And if you don't, God will give you that testimony. Just keep seeking him. But those that have a testimony, a lot of times, well, again, we're seasoned Christians. Not that we're walking wrong, but sometimes we just look at the cross a little wrong. And we become foolish. We don't become wise. A good way to become wise is sharing your testimony. That's your anchor. That's the thing that the foundation, Jesus is your foundation, but the anchor to that is your testimony, the gift that he has given you. It says in the Bible, salvation is a gift. So when you have received this gift, which was freely given, you can freely give it away. So you should be encouraged when you know, maybe you're walking and you start to get a little dry. Go back to your simplicity of what Jesus did for your life. And share it to others and ask God for opportunities to share your testimony to others, because he will. God wants to give you opportunities to talk to people about him. He doesn't want you to just sit in church and take up an empty seat. He wants people that are hungry for his heart. And Jesus is really saying here, if you want to be wise, have oil. If you want to be foolish, don't have oil. If I'm a Christian that knows that God of the universe is got a master plan for me and he truly died on the cross for me, which is crazy, I'm gonna do what the scriptures tell me to do, which is be wise. Amen? Amen. So ways to live faithfully. Share your testimony. You overcome the enemy with that. Steward the gifts that God has given you, which again, it's kind of go hand in hand with your testimony. That's a gift. No matter how small and maybe boring you could say your testimony is, or how great and ridiculous your testimony is, it's all equal in the eyes of God. Steward that gift, share to others, remind yourself most importantly, because at the end of the day, what this is really teaching in Matthew 25, God's saying, you have the choice to get oil yourselves or you don't. And if you do get oil, you're going to be welcome to the wedding and you're going to walk in with me. If you don't get oil, the door's going to be locked and you're not coming in. Dochka, period. So live faithfully by sharing your testimony, stewarding the gifts that God has given you, and leading by action and love. I think that is the biggest thing that we can do as truly devoted Christians. Leading by action. Not just words. You know, I've been guilty of that. But truly letting the fruits of the Spirit manifest every single day in your life. Even, let's say you have zero fruits in your life out of the 7 days of the week, and you let the Holy Spirit move in your life one day of the week. Is that better than none of the days? Yeah, you're letting Holy Spirit open your heart. Now one day we'll go into two, and it's going to be just like the talents. Two is going to go to four. And then soon enough, you're a fully devout Christian. Now you hear God's voice everywhere you go. And now you're getting salvations on the left, salvations on the right. People are manifesting demons in front of you. Like, you're moving in what God has called you to be, which is a proactive church and not a lazy church. So when you do all these things, denying yourself, living faithfully, living purely, impurity, God allows and gives you opportunities to use those gifts and gives you, just like the talents, he gives you opportunities. Yeah, just gives you opportunities to just minister, honestly. Praise God for that. So I'll be wrapping up. It looks like it was actually a little quicker than I thought, which is fine. Out of the 10 virgins, you know, which one are you? Which one do you want to be like? I believe God, like he did at camp, gave us a repentance for looking at the cross wrong. He's given us, the church, the same repentance too. He said, hey, if you've been maybe looking at me wrong, God is calling you even right now to give it up to him and just say, Jesus, I surrender for how maybe I was looking at you wrong. Maybe I was looking at my problems were a lot bigger than you. Maybe I was looking at the cross wrong. God is calling our church, myself, everybody to look at Jesus correctly with the right eyes. So then we could be people that are invited into the wedding and we're walking in and we're joyful. And I want to see all of you guys in heaven someday. And I want to see, you know, everybody. I want to see people that are on the streets in heaven. I'll say 5-6 years ago, I probably didn't even care for that. But one touch of Jesus can change your whole entire life just like that. Amen. So let's stand. I'll say a prayer. If we want to get someone on the keys, we can. And if no one's here, that's fine. Perfect. Just take a good look at your life and really think, God, are the fruits of the Spirit in my life? Like, be personal, be honest, be pure, just like David was in his walk with God. Everyone take a few moments, really try to think, God, have I really opened the doors of my heart to you fully? Did I close it? Do I keep it closed? Do I keep it open? What do I do, God? Where am I at right now? There's an invitation, guys, to look at the cross right, and that is what we're called to do. Guys, God loved the world so much that he gave his son. And he didn't give that son just to get clapped at on Sundays. He gave that son so everybody has an opportunity to have salvation and walk into the fullness of what God has called us to do. So be honest with yourselves, guys. Be honest with yourself. Maybe there's things that you need to put aside for 30 minutes, an hour. Maybe things that doors you need to close in your life to allow God fully in. I want to pray for you individually. I'm not calling anybody up front. I'm not calling you to actually take a step forward, get on the knees. I don't want you to do any of that if your heart's not in it. If you feel like you need to do that stuff, do it. But this is a heart moment with Jesus right now. It's a heart check. Saying, Jesus, maybe I have been encountered by you, but maybe over time I've just been off by a little bit. Like on a boat, there's a compass and it shows north, south, east, west. And on a boat, if you're on a boat from, let's say, Africa and you're going up north to Europe, if you're off by a little bit, you're off by a lot. So this moment I say and pray in Jesus' name, Father, let us be exactly where you want us to be. Teach us to steward the gift, the testimony that you have given us, God. Teach us to allow Holy Spirit to be evident in our life, not by words, but by actions, God. We don't want the fake stuff. I don't want the fake stuff, God. If there's things in me, God, that I do wrong, Lord, show me and highlight them, Lord. I just pray, Father, that you open my eyes to myself and show me where I need to correct myself. Everybody say, Holy Spirit, I invite you into my life. I give you the keys to my heart. You are the King. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, guide my steps from early morning to late at night. Show me Jesus. I said, show me Jesus, God. Reveal to me yourself through scriptures, through the body, in worship, in prayer. Lord, we want you. We need you. There's no point of us being here if you're not in it, God. So, Lord, I pray that we make an open space for you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, you're not just a to-do list item. You are our everything. There's nothing else that we have to do or we should do except spend time with you and get to know you. So, Lord, I pray from this day moving forward, Father God, that you make way, give them an opportunity to step in communion with you through the blood of Jesus, Lord. We thank you that you made it so, so simple and so, so easy to have relationship with you, God. I thank you, God, personally, that in my walk, Lord, that you have always been there, that you always will be there, God, and you are faithful. And Lord, I pray until the end of my days that I enter the gates of heaven as a wise bride, Lord, and you recognize me and that I'm familiar to you. Lord, I bless this church. I bless this house. I thank you for what you're doing and the new season that you've started. I just pray the fruits of the Spirit are so evident. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.